always been amazed at how God works things out. Starting out in the ministry over, well, it's been almost 60 years now, I can remember preparing my notes, and always I've had outlines that I would use, never a transcript on that, and there's little 4x5 cards, and I'd have an outline on that and write it real small and try to get all that on there and have the scripture references. And I'd have paper clips in my Bible where I would, scripture, so I could just flip that paper clip and get there. Well, then that began to tear the pages up, and so God told me, all right, so when you go to call out a scripture, call it out early and explain it or be talking about the background of it, giving people a chance to find it and call it out a number of times so people could do that. Well, that worked out fairly well. And then I found a place in New York that has little numbered slots that fit in there, and you can put them anywhere you want to. They're not just at the beginning of the book of the Bible. And so with my notes then, I would have my outline in the scripture, and I'd have a number out there. The first one was number one, second one's number two, and so on, and I just flip the numbers while you're looking it up. It doesn't distract me, and I can stay on guard with that. But then the little 4x5 cards were just a little too small. I was going to have to get down to begin to look at that and wonder what I was going to do. And so I didn't want to pull out a notebook, but I would take a sheet of paper and I'd cut it the size of my Bible and begin to type my outline on that. Well, that worked out for a while, but then I had to get a bigger sheet of paper and a bigger print to see that. And I said, well, I'm going to have to come to that place where I'm going to have to use a notebook with a bigger deal on this. And even this Bible, I used to have one that was a little bigger, and the print wasn't big enough. This is one that has a large print in it. No helps or footnotes in there hardly at all. And so that kind of bothered me a little bit. I could read a lot easier. Then we came out with the technology that we have been developing over this time. PowerPoint, man, that was a delight for me. You saw some of that this morning that John was using, but I've always used it in the churches I was in. And I'd have a monitor where I could see it. Either my laptop would be there where I could see it in the big screen, or I'd be having it on the big screen back there. And all of my words that I put on the PowerPoint are big letters, so I could use that instead of notes. And that was my notes. The only thing I prayed for, Lord, don't let the electricity go out. And I still do that, but as you notice, I took this out. I've got it in paper form in case the electricity or something goes wrong with it. Now we have what we call the iPad comes out, and the iPad is really a blessing in that I have the Bible on here, and the Bible that I have on the iPad, I can touch a word, and it brings up the Greek or the Hebrew definition of it. And so instead of having a lot of footnotes on that part, it's just right there available. And that's a real blessing in that, to be able to use that. And I still use it here. I can enlarge this and make it smaller. So God has always answered my need on it. Now, another first that I've had, Saturday, I've been trying to get out of the marrying business and the funeral business, but they won't let me do that too much in there, just to teach and preach His word, but still I help and will help people in their times of needs and all of them. And I perform a wedding Saturday, and for the first time, and I read the vows and all off of the iPad. I was kind of a little hesitant about that, but what I'd had in the past, I had a little Bible that was given to us and given to me on our 25th wedding anniversary. Well, now we're up to 58, so that's kind of getting out of, puts a date on that thing. And it was kind of small, and I could print out the marriage ceremony and print it out on two sheets and fold it like a book and stick it in the Bible. So it looks like you was reading from the Bible and reading out the notes on that. Well, that was too small, and I was having to advance with something else. So it was a real blessing in that I was able to do that and do it on the iPad. And So that was the first in that area, and I just praise God for what he's doing and the technology that we have today. I've noticed in the past with the radio, with television, and with the computers and the internet, that the devil always had his hand in it and tried to control it. And I just felt like the devil doesn't need to have that. God needs it. God can use it. And he has. And I praise God for that. And we're that we've used that and fight the devil with it and be able to glorify God's name and get the word out. And with the internet, that's been unbelievable. That still blows my mind of the people that we can reach for our Lord, as we sung the song, Set My Soul Afire, and of the homes that we go into that we couldn't get in otherwise, the businesses that we go into that we couldn't get otherwise. Just people walking down the street with the new technology of the iPhones and all, and the smartphones. Anytime they want to inquire about the Word of God or about God, they can come on our website anywhere, anytime on that. That's amazing. So when they have a desire and a need, I had a secretary in a church that I was pastoring, and the former pastor before I went there was one that he just didn't want to be bothered. I don't understand that, but anyway, so the secretary, he had the secretary to guard all of his calls to filter them, and that he just, unless it was an emergency, he just didn't take one on that. And she started doing that with me, and I said, whoa, what are you doing? I said, you let me get those calls. I don't care. Well, these people, I said, no, you don't do that. I said, I'll take care of that. You just let me have all the calls and let it come through to me on that. And then I was going to the hospital a good distance away, and I'd come back and I'd find the little stick-em notes on my doors of all the different calls that was on there. And we just bought one of those cell phones. That was the bag phone. You know, it came to bag and about like a regular phone, and you had to get it up, and I had that in the van in between the seat and can do that. And then we got a little more up-to-date cell phone, kind of like a walkie-talkie that you held up to your head and be able to talk on. And I'd come back and I'd find those notes on there. I said, if you're going to do that, I'm going to get rid of the cell phones. I said, the purpose of this and for me to have the cell phones is that if somebody wants to talk to me, first of all, when they want to talk to the preacher, they're wrestling with it. I don't know if I want to bother him or not. And then they don't know whether they really want to talk or not. And they have to get up courage to do so. I wish it wasn't that way, that they could just feel free any time to walk in and never too busy for anyone that would needs to be counseled with, talked with. And so I told the secretary, I said, now listen, when a person calls and they say, well, where's the pastor? And you, well, he's making a hospital call or he's out here doing something, and ask them if it'd be all right if they, you know, have their number and he'll call you back. And they normally say, no, didn't want to do that. I said, you be sure you get their number and give it to me, and I will call them back. And the moment they have, and they finally get over that fear of wanting to talk to me, that's the time that I need to make contact with them. And so I'm thankful for the cell phones and that we can have that contact all the way throughout in that. And God is blessed. Now that's the same thing with the internet. When these people want to search for God right then, they've been wrestling with the idea of trying to get there, and anything could hinder them. Well, with the internet, there's no hindrance whatsoever. They punch the button, they type in what they're looking for or what they want to do, and it's instant right then. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we just praise God for that. So I'm thankful for what he's doing in those areas. And then the marvelous, wonderful work, whatever technology we use, whether it's the old-fashioned way or whether it's the new modern ways that we can get things out better, God always has a message for us. And tonight, as I think about what God wants me to talk about tonight is the rock. Now, God has used different symbols for Jesus to bring out his certain characteristics of our Lord and Savior. One of my favorites is Jesus is a good shepherd. Don't you like that one? And especially the 23rd Psalms. And when I think of Jesus as my shepherd, of the needs he provides for me and the security that he gives me. That's a tremendous blessing and assurance. And when I'm in trouble, I know I've got a shepherd that's there and want to protect me. And then we have the symbol of Jesus as the vine. There's times when, and we're the branches of that, our strength comes from him. And when I feel like I just cannot put one foot in front of the other, here comes that strength from within. When I feel like that everything else is gone, here comes that strength from within. Man, what a beautiful picture we have of Jesus as the vine. And then of Jesus as the light. Oh, what a blessing that is of not only giving us knowledge, but making the way plain for us. There's times when I will get up and not turn on all the lights at night to go into the kitchen or somewhere, and I think I know where everything is. Now, we bought a new coffee table in our den and that, and I had to go through that to get in there. Well, it's round and a little bit larger than the other one. And so I had to remind myself when I would walk through there at night, I had to steer just a little bit over, a little bit more than what I had before. But if I go too far, there's a chair I'm going to run into. And even though we have a night light, you've been asleep and you get up and everything you stand, you know, is not quite where you can see all of that. But then when I think about our life, as we go through life, things are dark and dim. But Jesus is the light. He lights our pathway. I don't have to worry about stumbling around. I don't have to worry about not knowing what's out there or what is hidden in that. Isn't that a wonderful picture of our Lord? And that he doesn't have to share anything with us. But he's God, and he does, and he wants to, and he wants to lighten our pathway so we can see and know and still trust him in faith in that. And there are many of the other things that are there that God uses to demonstrate. Now, tonight we want to look at the rock. And I believe in this hour, right now, I had no idea what was going to come up in our world. God laid this on my heart early in the week and to develop this and preach on Jesus as the rock. With our situation today and the alert that we're facing now with Al-Qaeda and all of the terrorists that are planning to have a big destruction somewhere against the United States and try to destroy them, we're never sure about what's going on in the political world, in the economic world, and anything that we're faced with. But I've got one assurance. I have a solid rock. And when we think of Jesus as the rock, we know that we have solid ground to stand on. And that's exciting. That's what God wants us to look at tonight. So in Psalms 61 and verse 1, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Isn't that beautiful? Look at it now. He said, when I hear my cry, hear my prayer. He said, I'm thankful that he does, aren't you? Oh, I don't care what the situation or where you're at. Pray always. Man, yeah, I'm always in a constant mode of prayer. And when anything pops up, I don't have to stop and say, well, I need to go pray somewhere. No, I'm already there. And praise God, we can be. And he hears us. Notice that verse 2 said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. That means anywhere you are, any place that you might be, you can pray. And God is there to hear us. And then he tells us that when my heart is overwhelmed, I feel like that, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it, if I'm going to stand it. I'm not strong enough. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Jesus is our solid rock, the solid foundation. And he is greater than we are. He's higher than I. Aren't you glad you don't have a God that's limited the way we are? There's no limit to our God. He is the rock, stable and solid, that is there. in 1 Corinthians, or in look at Psalms chapter 18 and verse 2. Psalms chapter 18 and verse 2. Here the Bible kind of expands on that of Jesus being the rock. In Psalms chapter 18, Psalms 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Oh, everything that is solid, that's what he is. Nothing that is unstable, but that is solid. Praise God, we have Jesus. How do we know this is talking about Jesus? Well, we have a clue there. He said, the Lord is my rock. Talking about our Lord and Savior as well as our Heavenly Father. But to understand that fully, and just so that you might have the scriptural background, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, we find some other comparisons that are given and symbolism that is there. He talks about baptism, and the symbolism of baptism is a matter of emerging into something, being buried and coming out of that. Well, he mentions that when they went under the cloud or in the cloud coming out of Egypt into that, that was a baptism. They were merged in the cloud. And then when they went through the Red Sea, waters up on each side, and they walked on dry land, that was kind of a symbol of baptism. They were submerged in that. They weren't wading across there. They were in the depths of that sea that God had parted and opened up for them on them. And then they talked about how that they did eat the same spiritual meat. And so in verse 4, and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, God always does the impossible, and that's what is so amazing and such a benefit. A rock, that's the last place I'd go to find water. And sometimes when we go to God, we wonder, well, can he really do this, or is this what I need to do? Maybe I need to search somewhere else. No, you go to the rock, and it's the answer to everything that we have. Out of that rock came living water, not just for a small drink for one or two people, but that provided water for over 3 million people. Can you imagine that? I mean, a lot of water came out. You talk about a river. Out of that rock, out of Jesus comes the water of everlasting life. Out of Jesus comes that well of the Holy Spirit within us. What a tremendous blessing we have. We're on a solid rock that provides all that we need, not just to keep us stable, but all our needs are right there. And then in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, and verse 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus is teaching us about our life and all that would be going on in the in our church and what's going to happen to it and the difficulties and the problems. God didn't say that he'd have a church that without any difficulties or problems. Always there'll be persecution. Always there's going to be conflict with the church. But I got news for you. The church is on the solid rock. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus had asked them and said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, brother, that's solid. You're not of some man or a king of somebody. You are of God. You're the Son of God. You can't get any solider than that. I mean, that's it right there. And so Peter made that statement in verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, Jesus is setting the importance not of Peter, but of the statement that he made. He said, now, you are flesh and blood, and you didn't get this knowledge from other people. That came from God, in that you said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then in verse 18, "Then I say unto thee, thou art Peter." And the Greek word that he uses for Peter is a little stone, a pebble. Thou art Peter, a little pebble. And upon this rock, not that little pebble, but he uses a different Greek word for rock, which is a mountain, a big boulder. That's a statement that Peter made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, don't get the wrong picture here. Jesus is saying now, your base, the local church, is going to be built upon that boulder, upon the statement. When you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've got that grounded into your heart, you're on a solid rock, not just a little pebble, but you're on a solid rock, a boulder. Nothing can change that. Nothing can alter it. And by doing that doesn't mean that because you're on that rock that Satan is going to try to attack you, but you're protected. No, that's not the picture he's given. Notice it now. Let me read again to you, verse 18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, not the gates of the church. You don't have to worry about Satan tearing down the gates out here to get in here. When we come to the place that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I mean not just a head knowledge, but it's a reality in our heart. We're not serving a man. We're not serving a religion or a theology. We're serving a living God. And when we come to that and we believe that, and it's in every fiber of our body, we're going to act that way. And we don't have to fear any man, any army, or anything. They're not going to come through those gates. When we refuse to believe that Jesus is really the Son of God and that he has all power in heaven and earth, anything will walk through that gate. But Jesus said, I'm building you on that solid rock. But he didn't say now the gates of the church. He said, but the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That means because we're on that solid rock and we have the power of God, now we can attack hell. Well, now, do you realize how strong hell is? Do you realize how strong sin is? Do you realize the power of drugs? Do you realize the power of adultery? Do you realize the power of sin that's out there in this world? Our armies cannot overturn the drug traffic, cannot overturn the prostitute and all else that's going on in the gambling. The more we try to stamp that out, the greater it gets when we try to do it man's way. But when we're on the solid rock and we know that we have the power of God, the gates of hell cannot stand against it. We are to attack sin and conquer it. Right now, sadly to say, our president has put our nation in a state of total fear. Never before has America been afraid. I don't care what the army was or what they were going on in the world. We stood our grounds, and the nations of the world looked to us because we proclaimed the name of God, and we weren't afraid of anybody or any army, and we would go into that with the idea we're going to have victory. But then we started to have some of those that tried to establish some fear. Well, we're a police action. We're not going to be a war anymore. And on down the line, and we need to help our enemies. We need to be friends with them, and so they won't be enemies anymore. And we need to have everything open and above board. Yes, we like that. But I got news for you. When you start sharing the secrets of all that's going on, the enemy will know just what you are and how to come against you. They've already won this little battle that's going on right now in here. They've got America on the run. We've closed our embassies. We've never taken our flag down for anybody or anything and never closed our embassies. We stood there and protected and fought against it. That's when we believed in God as a solid rock, and our churches stood on a solid rock. Amen. You see the difference? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Man, what a Savior we have. We don't have to run in fear. We don't have to hide. we can stand in the power of God, and the enemy flees from us and them. But then what about our lives? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. By the way, let me just insert here, we'll in September the 14th, not the first Monday, but the second Monday, I know the 9th, September the 9th, it'll be the second Monday of September, we'll start our Bible classes on Monday night. God has laid on my heart to teach about Israel, the nation of God. And I tell you, I am excited about that. He's been preparing my heart and developing that. Right now, I've got the outline that God has given me for that of all about the nation of Israel. And we're not approaching Israel from the history books. Now, you can get your encyclopedias and you can read about all of that and all the things. We're approaching Israel from the Word of God. God's history about Israel and what God's going to do with Israel. I don't care what the history book says. They don't have a clue what's involved in that. But they can tell you what's been here or there, but we're going to approach it from that part. And as God began to lay that outline out, I had a little mean streak in me in that line. I thought, now I need to give this outline to some of you people and let y'all fill in the scriptures. And so I'm filling in the blanks in the scriptures as God leads me and the Holy Spirit does on it. I tell you, it's going to be exciting. So you want to tell others, encourage them to come and to be there. What God is doing, He's a solid rock. And what a blessing it is in that. But what about our lives now? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now that's the main key right there. I'll come back to you in a minute. But remember, He said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Oh, my. But now, wait a minute. Look at the other side, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now both of these, one built their house upon the rock, the other one built the house upon the sand. The one that built the house upon the rock, both of them heard the word. Notice that in verse 24, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, both of them heard the word. But what was the difference? In verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. It's not a matter of hearing the Bible and having the Bible and reading the Bible. It's a matter of obeying the Bible. When we obey the Bible, what are we saying? We believe Jesus is the rock. We believe the word is sure. It's our authority, not anything else but God's holy word, because Jesus is the word. In the beginning was what? The word. It didn't say, and that could have said in the beginning was Jesus. But he was identified as the Word. And you have in Revelation, Jesus is identified as the Word. Oh my, the power of the Word of God. And when you do that, then you're on the solid rock of Jesus. And I don't care what the storm is, what the conflict might be in your life. Now, it might blow out a window. You might be missing a few shingles. You might get some rain inside the house, but your house is going to stand. But you can have the best built house, the best built life. You can follow all of the advice of the world and all of the special teaching by trained, quote unquote, individuals. And it would seem like nothing could destroy that life. I got news for you. It might not blow any shingles off. It might not burst any windows out. But I tell you, that house is going to fall. Because it's not on the rock. Regardless of what comes, we don't have to be afraid. We're on the solid rock. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Jesus? His word is eternal. His word is powerful. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. There's some of those that talked to Peter and to God and had mentioned the fact, well, I have visions. And God has revealed this and that, and I've had experiences of this. Well, that might be good. And Peter said, now, if you've had any experiences, we've had one far more than what you've ever had. I was on the mountain with James and John. I saw Jesus transfigured before my very face. You talk about a vision, you talk about experience, you can't top that. And not only did I see Jesus transfigured, but I saw Moses and Elijah. There's no experience that you can have that can top that. But he said, that's nothing. He said, that's not where I'm standing. That's not what I'm basing my actions on. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We've got something greater than any vision, greater than any experience you might have. What is it? Look at that verse 20 now. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is not man's writings. This is not man's idea, Peter's idea, or Paul's idea. It is the holy divine word of God. And it's eternal. It's a solid rock. It's Jesus, the rock. Oh, we've got the best right here. You can't find anything greater than this. You want to be on the mountaintop, get in the word of God. You want to walk through the fires and the waters, get in the word of God. This is it. Notice, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Oh, what precious words are there. And the assurance we have in this day and hour especially. We're on the rock. And that rock is Jesus, the word of God. Oh, look at it now. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture, not part of it, not some of it, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. To what purpose? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All that you need is in the word of God, our Lord and Savior. He is the word. When you're in the word, you're in Christ. When you're in Christ, you're in the word. He's a solid rock. What a blessing we have. Notice now in Psalms 119, Psalms 119, Psalms 119, we're going to get in the first part of that, verse 9. Psalms 119 and verse 9. Psalms 119 and verse 9. I forgot how many. We have 176 verses in this psalm. And oh, every one of them is precious. Every one of them. But I want you to look at verse 9 of Psalms 119. 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Good question. Here's the answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Don't let me stray. Don't let me alter it. Let me stay with it solid. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's a solid rock. Isn't that great? What a marvelous thing we have in Jesus as the rock. And then Psalm 61, our text again. We talked about it a little bit, but let me just remind you of it again. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, and, O God, attend unto my prayers. Aren't you glad that you can pray? Why? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The joy, the privilege of being able to communicate with our Heavenly Father. And we do that through our Lord and Savior. He's the rock. Look at John now, chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12. John chapter 14 and verse 12. What a powerful scripture. And brethren, this needs to be proclaimed more and more. Our churches are getting away from this. I'm finding preachers, as others, are getting away from this. And it's a serious problem. We wonder why we're not having the victory that we ought to have. We wonder why our prayers are not being answered, seemingly. Why we're having a problem with that. Well, here's the answer to it. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Man, I thought, well, if Jesus is here, man, what we could do with Jesus here? He said, oh, no. You'll do what I've done, and you're going to do great works because I've gone to my Father. Now, what's so important about that? And remember, he's a rock in verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. When we pray to the Father and ask it in the name of Jesus, God answers our prayers. And praise God for that. You can count on that. That's a solid rock. And so many prayers are being offered up today, beautiful prayers, and never the name of Jesus being mentioned. They don't ask it in the name of Jesus. And some of them just pray to Jesus. Our prayers is to the Father. In the name of Jesus. And Jesus said he'll grant your prayers in that. That's a solid rock that we stand on. He's a rock. And praise God, he is in that. Chapter 95 of Psalms. Psalms 95. Psalms 95 and verse 1. Psalms 95. In Psalms chapter 95 and verse 1. The Bible tells us, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Oh, to sing to the rock. It thrills my heart when we and our song leader pick out songs that magnify our Lord and Savior. The sweetest name, nothing but the blood. Oh, I tell you, what a joy it is. How it thrills my soul. And we need to come because he's the rock that we're singing to. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. We haven't read that yet, but let's read it. Psalm 62 and verse 1. In Psalms chapter 62 and verse 1. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only, did you get that word only? He only is my rock. And my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Only the rock can save you. Nothing else. Religion, philosophy, no leader, no man, only the rock can save you. We find that in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. You're familiar with that passage, but look at it again. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. What a picture we have of our Lord. He is the rock. No salvation nowhere else. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you on the solid rock? Will you trust in that rock? Will you stand firm upon the rock of Jesus and walk and live in the victory that God gives us through the rock? Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can change it. It's a solid rock. What a blessing we have. Could be tonight. You need to bring your burden before the Lord here at this altar. Lay it upon the rock and let Him take care of it. You can't do it. You tried. You worried about it. Turn loose of it. Let the rock have it. He'll take care of it. In His way, in His time, we've got to simply trust Him in that. If you've not asked God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus, you're on the sand. You need to be on the rock. Will you obey God's word and ask God to forgive you and to save you by the blood of Jesus? Be faithful. Get in the word of God. God has spoken to your heart tonight. It might be that you need to come and intercede in prayer for our soul. He's the rock. He can change the minds of anyone. Even our president, our congressman. Anyone. He's changed it of Nebuchadnezzar. He's changed it of world leaders throughout the ages, and He still changes it today. But it's when we're on our knees believing He's the rock, then we'll see the difference. It could be you need to be down here at this altar. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed as we prepare for the invitation, as we approach the rock in our prayers.